Beautiful, beautiful. So last week, I think I gave you an illustration about me falling in the lake. Yeah, that brought great joy to so many of you. So here's the guy that fished me out. There's Walt. You remember him from before. There's the guy that fished me out. He was the first one there. And so I had medical help there if I needed it. And so if you want a good laugh, just you got people here to chuckle with. So here's where we're at today. Who did? What? Oh. Yeah, right. You know that. Here is the first half of the message. Here is the second half of the message. And I've helped you out by putting some of that up there. Yeah, I didn't know these things were going on behind my back. That's quite interesting. Light's a terrible thing to waste. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is kind of a black and white, kind of a A, B, kind of a here's hard, here's easy, or negative, positive. My goal is to teach the Word of God and let you overflow with Him. I could come up here and do a big cheerleader thing for you and be all pumped and psyched, but I don't want you to be pumped at that. I want you to be pumped and excited about Jesus. He is worth getting pumped and excited about. If we can't get excited about Him, we can't get excited. This part right here will be, I could be reading the front page news right here. I mean, we could just be, it's going to feel a little dark, a little like, ugh. But it is what it is. You'll see it, you'll get it, and then we're gonna put you to work. We're going to put you to work. This one here is kind of exciting in its own kind of way. But those are the two, part A, part B this morning. And we'll just see what happens. A light is a terrible thing to waste. In the book of Ephesians, unusual letter written from a guy in jail trying to encourage the church at Ephesus, the people who are not in jail, who are walking about freely. The guy in prison is encouraging them. And apparently, if you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 4, and in the whole letter, really, he starts out just praising the first 3.5 chapters. He is just praising and raising up Jesus and all we have in Jesus. I mean, it's like he is just building Jesus and how beautiful the gospel is and our salvation. It's just amazing. And then he kind of turns the corner to the church, to the people, and this is the church, right? And he seems to have some concerns there. So he says, he's given you the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So he's really, the guy in jail is wanting to protect that church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I'll just walk you through this. This is fresh off the newspaper, 2022. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Now, this is interesting to me because he's writing to a church and he sees the need to tell the local church, hey, we don't live that way anymore. Church, in case you hadn't figured this out yet, we don't live like they live anymore. It's just, that seems like, okay, we all know that, right? We don't live like they live. The ethnos, the Gentiles, that's just a word for them, right? We don't live that way anymore in the futility of their minds. So they have good minds. They're smart. He's not saying they're stupid. He's saying, but all they're spending their mind, their thinking on, it's futile. It's not going to get them anywhere. So ethnos is smart, but it's smart in a wrong place. It's not going to get them anywhere. But he says, church, we don't live like them anymore. They are, verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding. Here it is. Here's salvation. They are alienated from the life of God, the Zoe life, the life He gives us when we accept Christ, that spiritual life in us. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hard hearts. Not due to their hard minds, due to their hard hearts, they're ignorant. They overlook. They can't see. It doesn't register with them. We don't walk like them. We don't live like that. Verse 19. This is us. This is America. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They're callous. I looked this word up in the Greek. You know what it means? It means to be grieved out, unashamed. They have run out of grieving over sin and wrongdoing. They're unashamed. It doesn't affect them anymore. They don't even care. They just do these things, and there's no more remorse in them. There's no more like, oh, I feel so bad for doing that. It's gone. They grieved out. It's gone. It's just, so it says callous. That's how we would understand it. They have become callous. There's no more grief. There's no more shame. There's no more like, oh, man, I really screwed up. None of that. They have given themselves up, and that's paradidomai. That just means that's the word for surrender. They have surrendered. They've surrendered themselves. No more grief. They've just surrendered themselves to sensuality, greedy, hungry, to practice every kind of impurity. Now, here's one. I'll read it to you. See, I have technology. I am technologically savvy. So, the word sensuality, I'm going to read it to you so you know I didn't make it up. Here's the definition straight out of the Greek, straight out of the concordance. Outrageous conduct. Conduct shocking to public decency. A wanton violence, which means they rage at right doers. They rage at those speaking for right. There's a violence or a rage even. Their behavior is shocking. Shocking to public decency. And they'll rage at those who stand for decency. Outrageous conduct. Well, that happens to be June in America now. The rainbow flags, homosexuality, children's drag queen parades. Behavior outrageous to public decency. Outrageous to God's righteousness of the Bible. People that rage at those proclaiming the rightness of God. The truth of God. This is our country right here. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God. They have not the life of God. Their hearts are hard. They are grieved out. There is no more shame in this society in a general way. They have surrendered to outrageous public indecency, and they will rage at those who stand for it. They are greedy, hungry, voracious to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20. But that's not how you learned Christ. That is not how we have learned Christ. Christ. Never let them persuade you, convince you that somehow Christ is in that. It is not. That is not how you learned Christ, verse 21, assuming that you have heard about Him or were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. Change. Put on the new self. That is not how we learned Christ. And I will stand up here and speak it clear and speak it plain. That is not the truth found in Jesus Christ. Rage, do whatever you want. That is not the truth of Jesus Christ. And it seems like there was this persuasion that was going on. There was this, it seems like Paul is writing them. He's concerned that they might be persuaded, or they might become kind of numb to it all. And so he writes to them in chapter 5, and I love that he does this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in Christ's love, not their love, not ethnos love. That's not love, and that's not how we learn Christ, and that's totally wrong. Walk in Christ's love. And here it is again, verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. Sexual immorality, all impurity, or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. There should be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, no dirty jokes, which are out of place. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. You can be sure of this. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or is covetous, that's an idolater. There's no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God for them. There's no inheritance. Christ is not involved. Christ is not okay with that. It's not how we learned it. And there's no inheritance for those who live that way. Here it is, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let them fool you. They're going to talk. They're going to convince. They're going to give you some sort of, hey, well, wait a minute. Well, hey, don't let them. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Don't let them persuade you. Don't bite. Don't bite it. The wrath of God. The wrath of God awaits this. Therefore, verse 7, do not become partners with them. Don't do it. Don't go to the parade. For at one time you were darkness. Remember when you were darkness? But now you are light in the Lord. You are light, church. You are light in the Lord. And this is speaking to the congregation. Church, you, every single one of us here today, you are light in the Lord. You are the light of truth. You are the light of Jesus Christ. You are the light of what's right. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Ephesians 5, 9. You have that, Mark? You don't have it full? You don't have it? Okay. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. You will bear fruit as light. As light, you are shining a light. And the fruit, this is what your light will do. It's found in everything that's good and right and true. Nothing false, nothing deceptive. Good and right, and true. You will shine your light, and the fruit you will produce is good and right and true. Verse 10, I love this. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Try. Would you try? Try. I know it's like he's saying, I know it gets kind of muddy. I know they're trying to persuade you. I know they're arguing. I know they have some. Would you try? Just try. Please try. Try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Here's a good suggestion. Read this. This will help. This will clear the air. Try to discern what pleases Him. Verse 11. Take no part. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. Expose them. You got the word expose. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Door number one, door number two, door number three. Expose them. That's what I'm doing right now. That is exactly what I'm doing for us, with us. I am exposing it. And the word is just a little bit different than what you might think. You are light. He just told you that. Shine the light in that deep, dark corner. Shine the light. Shine your light. And expose. It's the word expose means you will convince. You will lay out the case. You will shine your light and present a case, and you will show this is filthy wrong. This is not God's truth. Congregation, this is what we are called to do. Yep, I'm called to do it. Absolutely, I am doing it. And so are you. This is written to the congregation. You are the light of truth, the light of Christ, the light of what's right and good. Expose. Why? There are so many confused people out there. There's so many people out there who aren't sure. There's so many people being told weird arguments. Expose it. Lay out the case. Expose it. There are people that may not even know the Bible is so clear on sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. So it is our job as light to expose it. Verse 12, it's shameful to even speak of the things they do in secret. We're not going to talk about every detail. Although they're teaching our children in school the details of this filth. Verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. That is our job, to lay out the case biblically. Here is why it is wrong, so it can become visible, so people can understand it. They don't become numb to it. They become numb to it because we quit talking. Share the truth. Expose the filth. Or anything that becomes visible is light, and therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Your phone's ringing. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Light, we are going to... Wendy, what are you doing? Oh, okay. Awake, awake, awake. We have to wake up. Okay, we got it. Now look, back to the text, I think. We are light. You are light. We have been given a huge, huge job here to expose, to present the case to this evil. And by doing so, awaken some people. That's what this says. Awake, O sleeper, wake some people up that they might arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on them. They're not without hope. They're not too far gone. But we are the light. And we have the Word of God. And we can present the case to us. Will some of them, many of them, hate us and rage at us? Yes. But some will be saved. Some will repent and come to Christ and be saved. That is our job. That is one of our jobs as light, to expose the filth. Present it biblically. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because their days and ours are evil. They're evil. I'm not telling you this is child's play. I'm telling you the days are evil. But you and me are the light. And it's our job to expose it. That's point one. That's the easy part. No. This is the easy part. Point number two. Point number one, expose the darkness. There it is. Point number one, expose the darkness. You and I have to know the truth, know the Word of God, know what's right, be a light, and expose the darkness. Present the biblical case in love best you can. Expose the darkness. Number two, expose the image of God in Christ and in others. Expose the image of God in Christ and in others. So Genesis 1:27 very clearly says, we are made in God's image. There it is. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. So this part is true. Every human being was created in the image of God. We know that. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. We'll begin there. I'm teaching you the Bible this morning. I'm teaching you some things we need to know as light. And I hope your glory and your praise will be in the Lord, in the Lord alone. Your light. And we are made in the image of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced, we have spoken out against, we have renounced, we have turned against disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. We're not going to do gymnastics with the Word of God. We're going to present it openly, straightforward. Here it is. Don't let anyone confuse you or convince you otherwise. The wrath of God comes on these people and this behavior. We're going to present the Word openly. Commend ourselves to your conscience. Verse 3. And even if our gospel, our good news, if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. If they can't see it, it's because they're perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give light the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are light, bearing light to Jesus Christ, God's glory in Jesus Christ. What's right and true and good in God through Jesus Christ, we are bearing light. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. This is Jesus himself just speaking out on the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody that wants to follow him, here you are. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. There's these two illustrations. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. We don't hide our light. We don't hide what we know. We don't hide what's right and good and true in Christ. We share it. We expose it. We shine it. We present the case so that others can see what's good. The good works. So that they can see what's good. They don't even know what's good. They're ignorant. They're not stupid, but they're just not thinking this way. They can't. The God of this world has blinded their minds. They cannot comprehend it. It is up to us to shine the light. Shine the light to them about Jesus, about them being made in the image of God, so that they may learn what's good and right and true. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. And this is so helpful. This is what's going to help us. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. They're going to need us to help explain it. They're going to need us to expose. They're going to need us to shine our light. But as a situation came for Terry and I yesterday, an opportunity, this is what we were doing. And this is what we're all called to do. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, the ethnos, those unsaved, those people, when Gentiles who do not have the law of God, but by nature they do what the law requires, they're a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They don't know, you know what it is. They don't know the law. They don't know the Word of God. They don't go to church. They don't know anything about it. But somehow they do something right. They do something good. They do something the law requires. They show, verse 15, that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them. So, sometimes people who wouldn't set foot in a church do something really good, really helpful. And it's like you go, I didn't even think they had a conscience or a moral compass. But they did something really admirable there. And what? Why? Why did they do that? Because we are made in the image of God, and the work of the law is written on every single human being's heart. I say it this way. God has put his fingerprints on us, on every single human being. God's fingerprints are on them. Everyone. He's the creator, made in his image, the law written on their heart. The fingerprints are on every single person on this planet. Every person in this room, you are made in God's image. And even though you may not even know the Word of God well, you still, sometimes you do the things that are right according to God's law. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Here's a story. Yesterday, Terry and I were given the opportunity to share at a wake. A wake for, you heard the couple, Lois Fair and her daughter, who were killed at the accident by Lowe's. The semi came down the hill. They were coming across. It was over like that. They're gone. Bob and Rick got the call. I'm sorry. Your wife and daughter are gone. Perished instantly. So I told you about it. We prayed about these people. They were angry. There was not going to be anything. And then Bob, he's rough. Bob shows up at my work and asks me if I would say something on behalf of Lois and her faith. I'm honored. I am honored. I praised him for doing the right thing. I told him, God loves you. I'm too far gone. It's a little light for me. Yeah, he loves you. And so we were at the house thinking there was going to be a group like this, and there was a group about five times this big in their backyard. And there weren't that many believers there. This is a rough group. And I get to share the gospel. And I love that. That's my kind of group. And I told every one of them, I said, look, every one of you are made in the image of God. Sometimes, even the gruffest of old fishermen, and they all knew who I was talking about, and they chuckled, even he does something nice. If you look beneath the facade, the exterior, you will see something good in there. There is some fingerprint of God even on him, and I already know what he does. He loves children. He loves kids. He loves teaching Little League baseball to youth and kids. But outside of that, he's rough. But I said, every person here is made in the image of God. There's something of his fingerprints in you. And although you're not saved, I told him that, you're not saved. You're not his. But sometimes you do things that are decent, are right. You do some really nice things sometimes, don't you? It's because God's fingerprints, your Creator, your God and Savior, his fingerprints are on you. And should you ever decide to read the Word of God and surrender to Christ, your Creator's already got things to work with there because he put it in you. The work of the law is in you. He created, his fingerprints are on you. And he's going to take that and he's just going to go, boom, and he's going to raise you up. And now he's going to recreate you in the image of Christ. And he's already got material to work with. He's going to change you, but he's going to make you to look like Christ. And those good things that he's already infused in you, the work of the law, it's just going to grow. They need us. They need us to explain this to them. They're confused. Sometimes they say, well, I'm nicer than that guy who goes to church over there. I do this for that. Yes, you do. You do some nice things. You have the fingerprints of God on you, but you are ignorant of his righteousness. It's not registering with you. So let me expose the image of God in you. Let me expose the fingerprints of God all over your life. They're there. You think of it right now. Who is the vilest person you know? The fingerprints of God are on their life. And you can explain it to them. Have the conversation. Say something. And when they answer that stupid little retort back, yeah, I'm too far gone. Yeah, I'm going to party in hell with all my friends. When they give you this stupidity back, just ask them, why do you do some nice things then? Why once in a while you do something decent? I'm going to tell you why. Because you are made in the image of God. His fingerprints are on you. And you're rejecting Him. Come to Him. He loves you. In our case yesterday, the woman I eulogized was a believer. She had a strong belief in God. And she was so kind and so humble and so forgiving. You couldn't get a bad word out of her mouth about someone. And that was so easy for me to say, and if you ever decide to come to Jesus Christ, He will welcome you and love you and receive you just like she did. Because God's fingerprints on her were compassion and kindness and love and forgiveness. And that is how He receives us. Because we were made in His image, we are His creation. Come to Him. Come to Him. Come to your Creator. He'll forgive you. His fingerprints are on you. He's going to go, yeah, it's one of mine. I like to see my fingerprints. He's going to pick you up and rebuild you and make you. And He's got material to start with. He can do this. This is, you're not too far gone. You're never too far gone for your Creator. They need our help with this. They have no clue what's right, wrong, up, down. They don't know why they are so vile and yet at sometimes seem to do something decent. And you and I can see through. We can see through. Their minds have been blinded. Their heart is dark. They don't have understanding. They're lost. The life of God is alienated from them. The only life they know is that mess. Oh, they need the light to shine. Not only expose the darkness, but expose the fingerprints of God on them. He's created them. He loves them. He died for them. Don't think for a minute He doesn't. He does. Do they do some good things? Absolutely. I'll put that guy up next to your vilest guy, and we will see. We'll just see. I bet I can win. I don't know. It's pretty bad. But I see the good in that guy. And he needs our help. There's somebody you know. There's somebody you know. You can expose the image of God and the fingerprints of God all over their life. And they're as lost can be. Confused. Vile. Because you are the light. We are the light. We have the truth. We have it. Don't let them convince you. Don't let them kind of persuade you over to their way of thinking. Oh, the wrath of God is coming on those sons of disobedience. But you know how to love people with the truth. They need your light. This nation needs our light in the worst kind of way. You can do it. Lord, thank You for this truth. Thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room. Lord, I know right now, even in this room right now, John just lost his dad. Debbie's dad is failing. I pray for Bob. Lord, I pray for Bob. Thank You for Rick, and he's beginning to look. He's looking. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I pray for light. I pray for light over them. Lord, we have the hope. We lose loved ones, we hurt, but we have so much hope. It's all because of you. You are good. You love us. You save us. We will rise. We will rise. Lord, will you fill us? Fill us with your light. So it just beams out of us. Teach us your word. May your Holy Spirit ignite us. Full of love. Full of grace and truth. Lord, help us to expose what needs to be exposed. To discern what pleases you. To understand your will. I pray for everyone here to bear fruit, to bear fruit of light. Things that are good and right and true. In Jesus' name, amen.